Crossroads Church family, Pastor Dan here, and I miss all of you so much, and I can't wait to be back with you next Sunday. But we have a special speaker today that I'm really excited about you hearing. His name is Pastor Kevin Roberts, and Denise and I have known Kevin since he was 13 months old. His family came to our church even before I was the lead pastor. And so Kevin is the same age as our oldest son, Clint. They're only about a month apart. And so we watched Kevin grow up here at Crossroads. He and my son, Clint, were best friends. And so Kevin was at our house all the time, hanging out. And so we grew up, we're very close to his family. We love them so much. In fact, they moved when Kevin was in junior high school. They took a position, Jason and Candace Roberts took a position at a children's home in Tampa. And Kevin was in junior high school at that time when they left. But we remained very, very close, our two families. And we, of course, kept track of Kevin. And Kevin ended up surrendering to the ministry when he was 16 years old. And then, of course, that thrilled my heart. Then he went to Bible college, and he graduated from Trinity College, the same place I did. And then he went into full-time ministry in about 2012, 2013. And he took a position as a youth and children's director at a church, and he was there for a few years, did a great job. Then he became a lead pastor at a smaller church. Then he took a position as the lead pastor of a church in Wauchula, Florida, where he has been since the year 2020. He is doing a fantastic job as the lead pastor there. I heard him teach recently. He's going through the book of James in his church, and I heard him teach from James chapter 1, and my heart was so blessed, and he did such a fantastic job of teaching the word. I asked him if he would come on this last Sunday that I'm away, and if he would teach James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. And so he is going to do that today. He is married to his wonderful wife, Jeanette, who loves the Lord so much. They've been blessed with three beautiful children, Kaysen, Camden, and Janessa. And so we are just very, very thrilled to have Kevin take time out of his schedule to leave his church, to come over and to be able to come to his home church, to Crossroads, and for you to be able to be blessed to see that this young man is a product of our ministry, and we are so thrilled for him being with us today. And so I want you right now to please make welcome Kevin Roberts.
What's going on, Crossroads? Y'all doing good? You sound good. Y'all get the coffee? It sounds like all of y'all did. That's great. That's great. Hey, listen, my parents always told me that if someone was going to say something nice about me, I'd have to pay them to do it. You see what $100 can do, all right? That's all I'm saying. No. Hey, listen, I love your pastor, and I'm telling you, your pastor is the real deal. Like, he told you. I mean, I stayed at their house all the time as a kid. My parents, they did a lot of things, and so they were gone a lot of times, so Miss Denise would pick me up from school. I'd go over there. I'm telling you, you have a real deal pastor, and I love him, and I know y'all love him, and I know y'all miss him. And hey, he'll be back. If you're visiting today, he'll be back, all right? If you get upset at me today, I will be gone after today, so you're good, all right? I'll give you an email address. You can email my secretary. Her email is Jimmy Crackcorn, and I don't care. No, I'm kidding. Oh, I'm already off to a bad start. But anyway, I love y'all. And listen, I would not be here today if it wasn't for Crossroads. I'm serious. I tell my church all the time. I tell them, look, there's some godly people in Daytona Beach that have influenced me. And some of y'all, I may have not seen you before. I know there's some people that I do know. And for my school teachers out there, I'm sorry, all right? And for everybody else, I'm just excited to dive into the Word. So, hey, listen, you came here to hear the Word, not my story, so let's dive into that, all right? If you have your Bibles, James chapter 4, we're going to be talking about be careful little mouth what you say. Be careful little mouth what you say. And I can't help but just think of all the memories that were here at Crossroads. One of them in particular that I was thinking about this week, there was a dear lady, I'm sure she's still here. Her name was Kathy. And Miss Kathy was my Sunday school teacher. I had a lot of them. But I remember this one particular moment. She was kind of illustrating this thing about, hey, we should all be on Jesus' side, not the devil's side. And so she stacked these chairs in a row, and she'd made all us little kids get on the chairs and pick which side of the fence we wanted to go on. So, of course, everyone wanted to go on Jesus' side of the fence, right? Except me. I'm not a follower for some reason. I was like, no, I want to go on Satan's side of the fence. And she's like, no, you won't like it over there. You want to go over here. And so we started arguing. I was like, no, I want to go on that side. Finally, she just picked me up, and she's like, you're coming to Jesus' side, all right? So I don't know if it was just a prophetic thing or, you know, here I am a pastor. God help us all right? So anyway, here we go. Let's jump in. Now, you've been in the book of James for quite a while, and I've even seen, Pastor Dan was telling me y'all were in it, and I tell my church all the time, if it was a good sermon, I stole it from Pastor Dan, so hey, we're here. But you've been in it, and one of the things that has been hammered over and over and over, and you have seen it, is that of the tongue, right? Y'all have seen it. James has hit the tongue a lot. Like, here's just a couple instances, right? James 1:26. If anyone among you seems to be religious and does not bridle his what? Tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Right? You remember James 3, he says, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Y'all realize you cannot tame the tongue? The Spirit can, though, right? That's why we need to rely on God's help, His Spirit, to come in our lives and teach us what to say. And so with this, I want to tell you some things about me real quick. And just so y'all know, I literally just told y'all we're moving through. Here's something about me. I put my foot in my mouth a lot. Hey, anybody else there or just me, right? And hey, I'm preaching to the choir today. This is going to be good. I put my foot in my mouth a lot only to take it out and then reinsert the other one. Any of y'all been there before, right? Hey, testify. Hey, a lot of us do that. But here's the thing. When I do that, I've hurt people. See, some of y'all have been on the receiving end of people saying some hurtful things. Some of y'all have been on the giving end of that. And here's the reality. As a church, these things ought not to be. Because how many of you know sometimes in church, listen, church people can say some mean things, can they not? And some of y'all have been, y'all are talking to me today. I like this. I hope 11's just like y'all. But the reality is we've said some things that we regret. And church people can say some very, very evil things. And this is what's happening in the text today. Here's something interesting. It's kind of like the father. There was a father one time who was sitting down to study, and he had went out to the yard to talk to his daughter because there was some commotion going on as he was getting ready to study. And he goes and he breaks up this fight with his daughter and her friends. And he was like, what are you doing? She's like, but Dad, we were playing church, right? That should not be the church, right? And we must be careful with what we say. I don't know if you may have grown up here like I did. You may have come from another church. You may have grown up in church. But in Sunday school, they used to sing this song to us as kids. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And then they would say this one. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. How many of you know we have to be careful with what we say? How many of you know one of the greatest holes that people find themselves in has been dug by their tongue and the things that they say? And so with this, I want to just give you this sermon statement. This is where we're going. This is in your notes, just to show you where we're heading. We must be careful what we say when it comes to others and our future. We must be careful what we say when it comes to others and our future. Here's where we're going. Here's number one. I want you to see this. We must be careful what we say about others. Notice what James says in verse number 11. Notice what he says. Do not what? Speak. Do not speak evil of one another, brothers. Do you understand when James says the words do not speak, it's not optional. He's not telling you, hey, if you feel like it, don't speak. He's telling you, do not speak evil. right? Here's what's going on in the church, and this should be relieving for a church, but here's what you need to understand. What's going on in the church right now is they're these brothers, and they're tearing each other down with evil words, with slander, with gossip. I know that might shock some of y'all, but that stuff was going on back then too, right? And this stuff's happening, and what's being done, James saying, hey, look, you do not need to be doing this. Do not speak evil of one another. In your notes there, I want you to see this. Understand that speaking evil of others is a type of speech that is self-centered rather than Christ-centered. That's what it is. When we speak evil of our brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not Christ-centered, it's self-centered. So here's my question to you. Have you ever said some things about people, even in church, that were wrong? You ever speak evil of people? Listen, here's what I'm finding out. As a young pastor, I'm finding this out. Gossip and slander, they don't care about facts. They just don't. See, gossip and slander, they want to just paint someone in a bad light. They don't care if it's the truth or not. And one of the things that I've had to realize as a pastor is sometimes I'm not going to be able to tell people the truth. And what I mean by that is when things go on and they think they know the situation, I can't really tell them what's really going on. And sometimes I'm not going to get closure on everything. But here's what we need to understand, that we must not speak evil against our brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice what James says about this. He says, he who speaks evil of his brother, and then notice this, notice what he tags on, and what? Judges. His brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Now that word there for judge, there's a Greek word for it, but I failed Greek in college, so I'm not going to give you that word. I'll just tell you what it means. It means condemnation. It's not necessarily talking about evaluation. It's talking about condemnation. So James is saying, hey, look, when you speak evil and you judge, it ain't the right thing to do. He's saying if he judges his brother and speaks evil of the law and judges the law. So not only were they speaking evil of each other, they were also judging people. They were becoming judges of the law. You know what they were doing? They were playing God. Any of y'all ever play that game before? Listen, if you do, you will lose that game every time. And so with this, we need to understand that condemnation is not something that we should do as believers. The people were not focused on confronting sin. They were focused on condemning people. Now, can I camp out here for a little while? Y'all good? There's a timer on there. Ooh, I got 25 minutes. I'm still good. Hey, so listen, let's camp out here for just a second, okay? Let's talk about this. We must never condemn people. We must never do that. Now, understand, as believers, Romans 8, 1 tells us that there is no condemnation to us. Why? Because we're in Christ Jesus, right? But we should never go around condemning people. But doesn't stop there, right? Because that's what the world does. Don't you judge me. But I want you to understand, as believers, we are to confront sometimes. We are to confront sin. We don't like to talk about that. And I'm not talking about someone that feels like their gift from the Spirit is to voice their opinion. I'm not talking about that, right? You got people that think their spiritual gift is, hey, I'm just going to tell people how I feel. That ain't a spiritual gift, right? I tell my church all the time, being a punk is not a spiritual gift, okay? That's one you can email me on. I'm sorry, all right? It's just not. But see, here's the thing. Confronting sin is not easy. Condemning is it not, right? If you condemn people and you're like, hey, they're worthless, that's easy. Any of you all ever have a brother or sister caught in sin and you see them going off a path and they've given you permission to even talk to them and you're like, man, this is not going to be easy? Confronting sin is not easy. And so with this, we need to show grace. I love what Proverbs 27:6 says. It says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Listen, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Confronting sin's not easy. Now understand, James isn't talking about this. He's talking about people that are speaking evil against one another and condemning one another, and he's saying, look, this ought not to be. Don't be judgmental. Don't you think it's significant? And have y'all caught this, that James is stealing from his brother on a lot of things? Well, obviously, because his brother's Jesus. But I'm just saying, like, a lot of things he's saying, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Right? Like last week, I know Brother Scott was talking about the previous verses, you know, like be wretched, cleanse your hands, you sinner. What does Jesus say on the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are those who mourn because they will what? Be comforted, right? And so with this, I want you to understand that Jesus had something to say when it comes to judging people. Remember, he said, don't judge your brother for the speck in his eye when you got a plank in yours. And so if I can be honest with you, here's what you need to understand. When you go to confront someone, obviously you need to look at yourself too. Right? Hold that mirror up to yourself before you hold the mirror up to somebody else. I noticed that James 1:25 on the, but whoever looks into the perfect law, there's something we need to be looking into, right? That's the word of God saying, okay, what does God's word say about this? If I could summarize all of this, I would summarize it this way. Don't be a commentator. Right? Any of y'all, listen, I don't know how these people make millions of dollars to sit there and play Monday morning quarterback when they've never played the game. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got this guy sitting there, and he's sitting there criticizing this quarterback that threw this. I would have never, be like, bro, you didn't even make it in Pee Wee. What are you judging him for? Right? Like, just because you can put two sentences together doesn't mean you're a player. But see, here's what happens. For us as believers, if we're not careful, what we end up doing is being a commentary on everybody. And when we do that, guess what we're not doing? We're not playing the game. Not that Christianity is a game by any means, but I'm just saying, we're not in it. We're not being doers of the word. We're just not. And it's so easy for Christians to have just this negative spirit and just look and say things. I mean, listen, I'll talk about my church. Hopefully none of them are listening, but I'm going to let you in a little see. Like, here's what happened just recently, and it blew my mind. We had this young lady that she was in the church, and she was decorating our lobby and making it nice and spending her own money and just sacrificing. And I had another lady just come up and tell her one day, you know, that just looks awful. No one else wanted to tell you, but I did. Hope you have a good day, right? Get behind me, Satan. You know what I'm talking about? That stuff just fires. But you see what I'm saying? Sometimes people can just kind of have this negative thing where they're judgmental and they look around and they're commentating. And that's just not how it should be for us. Let's take it even a step further. Even in the church, right? When you see some things, understand that this ain't Burger King. It's not have it your way. I know we think, again, y'all, hey, I can say this because I'm out after tonight, all right? And judging by the way this is going, they're probably never going to call me back, all right? But I'm good. But this isn't, right? It's so easy for us to criticize and be judgmental and look at people and look at things and just say, hey, look, this is how it should be. Or if I was doing it, this is what I'd be. Well, you're not doing it, right? And listen, let me go another step further. We're just going to keep going. We're going to hit this, all right? Listen, I promise you, your pastor, your pastoral staff, They pray over things before they do it. I promise you. And listen, just coming in with a judgmental attitude or a judgmental spirit, you realize that can just drain people. But here's what we need to understand. God didn't call us to come have a judgmental attitude, right? No, notice what James says. Look at what he says. If you judge the law... Because again, these people are now speaking evil. They're judging people. If you judge the law, notice what he says. You are not a doer of the what? That's what James is trying to get us to see. A faith that actually works. And I'm not talking about a faith that earns salvation. I'm talking about a salvation that works its faith out. And he's saying, look, if you're judging all that, you're not a doer of the law. In other words, you're not in the game. You're just on the sideline commentating. And that's not how it should be. And can I be honest with you? You have an enemy that wants to get your eyes off of Jesus and get your eyes on all the other distractions, people, things going around. That's what the enemy wants to do to you. And that's why we have to keep our eyes focused on Christ and saying, look, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue righteousness. Let whatever happens, happens, but I'm following you. So understand, when we speak evil of our brothers and sisters and judge them, we are putting ourselves above the law. Here's what a guy by the name of Douglas Moo said. Sounds like he should own a dairy farm out where I'm at. But anyway, here's what he says. I really hope my church people aren't watching this. All right. Says this. Such a person becomes a judge of the law and sits himself outside and what? When we judge our brothers and sisters, that's what we are doing. It's kind of like society today that says, hey, look, I'm above the law. I don't have to follow that, right? We must never play God. Notice what James says, verse number 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to what? Save and who are, here's the question, you need to ask yourself this. Who are you to judge one another? Who are you? Right? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. And listen, if you have been in the habit of playing God, listen, this should be relieving to you, right? Because here's the reality. None of us are perfect. If we were, do you understand? You wouldn't need Jesus. Okay? There's no such thing as a perfect church, because if there was, guess what? You wouldn't be in it, right? We're all flawed, but we don't need to be judging people. We don't need to be judgmental. We don't need to be speaking evil. Why? Because when we do that, we're playing this game, and we lose. And hey, listen, I don't know about you. I don't want to be in the game of condemning people or saving people, right? I can't even build a bookshelf with instructions, okay? So how am I going to judge other people rightly? But here's the thing, right? One commentator said this, and I want you to see this. When we do this, when we're judging, we're sinning. And notice. Am I good? Am I still? Okay, good. See, God's making sure y'all aren't falling asleep on me, all right? Notice this. Here's what he says when he talks about the sin. Sin seeks to dethrone God, to remove him as supreme lawgiver and judge. And notice this. And rule in his what? It's what it does, right? And this should not be for us. And here's the reality. In your own life, God is either on the throne or guess what? You are. And if you're on the throne, that's not a good thing. And so for us, we need to understand that, hey, we need to be careful what we say about others. Stop playing God and being judgmental and saying evil things. Be careful what you say about others. I hope you're good. That was just the appetizer. Y'all ready for the main course now? All right. Here we go. Point number two. I want you to see this. We must be careful what we say about our future what? Plans. Uh-oh. Some of y'all are like, I don't speak evil of nobody. Right? I don't judge. Now we're going to talk about your vacation. All right. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm serious. All right. Here we go. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So notice this. In our lives, we say things like this, Jesus is Lord of all, right? We sing praises like that, that, hey, look, Jesus is Lord of all. But the reality is we function as if that does not happen, right? One person would go as far to say this, that sometimes we're functional atheists. I mean, think about that for just a second, right? We say we love God. We know that God exists, but as far as our everyday life, we don't count him in any of it. We never talk to him about anything. We make our own decisions. That ought not to be. And so with this, when it comes to our future and our plans, we must include God. I love this, and I don't know who said it, but I've heard this quote so many times, and it just sticks in my mind. But here's a quote I want you. You can write this down if you want. Jesus is either Lord of all or he isn't Lord at all. Jesus is either Lord of all or he isn't Lord at all. You can't come to God and just say, hey, look, I'll give you this and I'll give you this, but there's a couple things that I just can't have you have. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all, right? And when we talk about our future plans and the things that we do, I want you to see James deals with this head on. Look at number one. Here's what he says. What we shouldn't say about our future plans. Here's what he says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Here's what you need to understand in the context. Business travelers were common in this time. And James is giving a picture of a businessman who arrogantly is planning what he's going to do. He's going and he's bragging about what he's going to do. And any of y'all ever been there? Like you make these plans, but you don't include God in those plans? That's what happens. You're saying that God exists, and you're saying that God is Lord of all, and Jesus is your Lord of your life, but you don't talk to him about anything. Now, I'm not talking about going to the maybe I am, I don't know. But I'm not like, hey, God, should I put mayo on here or should I put ketchup? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about plans that you're making, right? Job opportunities, vacations you plan. For all the young people in here who you marry, right? We got any singles in here? Right? Okay, cool. Hey, singles, look around. You get some numbers, all right? I gotta stop. Here's what we're doing. When we do this, we are saying to God, I don't need you. And the most dangerous words that we can say in the Christian life is, I got this. It's the most dangerous words we could say. And here's what Solomon tells us in Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Notice the man in this passage, he's boasting about his travel, he's boasting about his time, he's boasting about money. And the reality is all these things none of us have control over. We just don't. And notice what he says in verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Y'all realize you have no idea what will happen tomorrow? I tell you what I'm learning as a young pastor is we just are not promised tomorrow. I just recently, me and my wife, we had a really good friend, and his wife and their kids were 13 and 16, and he was on his lunch break, and a young teenager was going 100 miles an hour, hit him head on, and he died instantly, right? Life is a gift. And the reality is, you need to understand, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. So who are we to boast about tomorrow? We just don't. Our lives are short, and I want you to see this in your notes. What's done for Christ matters. What's done for Christ matters. And can I be honest with you? What we do in this life echoes in eternity, right? It carries over. And so we need to understand is what we do in this life matters. A poem by C.T. Studd, I love this poem. He says this, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has burned out for what? Thee. So these are some things that we shouldn't say. I want you to see this. Look at point number two, what we should say about our future. Here's what James says. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. The church that I was a youth pastor at, it was interesting. They would always say this saying, and I didn't realize what they were saying when they were saying it, but they would say, hey, we're going to come back next week, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise. Any of y'all ever heard that saying? Yeah? Well, where I'm from, they had the Creek Indians, and there was literally an uprising sometimes that would happen, and that's what they were referring to, but I looked at it as like, now there's a lot of creeks around here. Like, if that rises, you ain't coming to church, right? But that's something that we should be saying. Like, hey, listen, if the Lord wills, notice what he says, we shall live. Remember what I just told you? Life is a gift. Life is a gift. I got some amazing senior adults at my church. Amazing senior adults. And I love them. You want to know why? Every time I call them and I say, how's the day going? You know what they say to me? I woke up this morning. Right? That's what they say. And what I've caught on is, man, every life is a, every day that they can get up is a gift. And that's how we should be living our lives is, hey, every day that we have is a gift. And if the Lord wills for us to do it, we do it with everything that we have. Our very breath is a gift from God. Notice what he says. We shall live and do this or that. Now, this is free, okay? This one's free. If there's anyone out there that is looking to start like a food place, right? Here's a name for you, this or that. I don't know why that jumped out to me in the passage, but I was like, man, if I start a food chain, it's called this and that. If you're in that business, call me, all right? I gotcha, all right? So check this out. But now you are rejoicing in your what? Do you remember what Proverbs just told us? Don't boast about it. But James is saying, look, when you do this, you're boasting. All such rejoicing is what? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is what? There in your notes, I want you to see this. Planning isn't wrong. It's not. But failing to include God in our plans is. Hey, we know how the world, I forget who said it. Look, a failure to plan is a plan to what? Fail, right? There ain't nothing wrong with that. The only problem is, if we say that Lord is Christ, Lord is all in all, if we say that he is Savior of our lives, guess what? We should be planning as if he is. And so with this, I want you to see, we must include God in our future plans. Look at verse 17 one more time. Notice what James says here. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is what? The principle here can apply to all sorts of things. Because look, my parents always used to tell me, I'd be like, well, you know, I just didn't do the right thing. It's a sin. Why? Because you knew it was right. You didn't do it. It was a sin. Right? In the context, though, what is James saying? I'm proclaiming to you right now that in your lives, you should run your plans by God because he is the Savior of your life. He is the Lord. And if we do not do that, guess what? We're sinning. Because what are we saying to God when we do that? I got this. I got this. And guess what? We don't. Y'all figure that out yet? I'm figuring it out every day. I don't have this, right? I get up in the morning, drink some coffee, spend some quiet time, think, man, this is going to be a good day, right? Hit the office, issue, right? I don't have this. But God is someone that we should take our plans to. He's the one that's in charge. And it's a sin to disregard God. And here's the interesting thing. You have sins of commission versus sins of omission. Y'all know what a sin of commission is, right? The sin of commission is doing what God has said not to do. You know what James is talking about here? The sin of omission. See, not doing what God has said to do. Let me give you a verse, and y'all know this verse because you probably memorize it. Some of you may know it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? Hey, listen. Y'all want to know the Greek word for all means there? Actually, it's Hebrew. Y'all want to know what that means? All. Hey, spoiler alert, right? That means all, right? Everything that you do, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Remember what I told you? Hey, look, I try to build some stuff at my house. I've got the instructions. I've watched YouTube videos. Guess what? I can't put it together, right? And so what I'm learning is, look, everything that I do, I don't need to be leaning on my understanding. That's why I love Crossroads so much. You want to know? Because look, there's an emphasis on the Word of God. The emphasis is not on how you feel. Feelings can lead you astray. When it comes to your life, you may feel a certain way, but what does the Word of God say? Right? We live in a society today that says just trust your heart, right? That's what Disney, everything tells us, right? But what does the Bible say? The heart is deceitfully wicked, right? Who can know it? So when we get into this idea of, look, what am I going to do? We should trust the Lord in everything. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and guess what? He will direct your path. And so, hear me. Don't fall into the sin of omission. God has said that in all your ways, you need to acknowledge him. And when we try to do it on our own, we're not. And so here's the question. Are you sinning in the area of disregarding God in your plans? You know, one thing you've probably heard over and over in newspapers and news is that, look, we're trying to be self-sustaining, right? We're trying to do things on our own. We need to be self-reliant, all these things. Listen, that should never be a Christian. Just shouldn't. You remember when Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray? He's giving them the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily what? What's that mean, right? Remember when the children of Israel, they're walking around in the wilderness? Guess who they were relying on? God. They had nothing. What it's showing us is that our dependence is not on ourselves. Our dependence is on what? Christ. It's on God. That's who we're dependent on. And so with this, I want you to see, be careful what we say about others. Look at Psalm 19:14. Notice what the psalmist says. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hey, listen, you should pray this. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Be careful what you say about others. Be careful what you say about your future. Notice what Psalm 90, 12 says. So teach us to number our what? That we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Can I ask y'all a question? How's your future looking? How's your future looking? And here's the reality. Christ can't be your future and involved in your plans if he isn't present in your life. And so hear me out. If you're here today and you're trying to figure this whole church thing out, listen, the greatest decision you can ever make is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He needs to be present in your life. And maybe you've put your faith and trust in Jesus. You believe that Jesus came and he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. You believe that. But maybe your life's not reflecting that. Listen, you need to change. You know, my favorite passage in the book of James. You know what? I'm gonna just turn to James chapter 4 real quick. This is free. Look, this is good. This is good. Look at verse number 5. You see this? With all the things that James is hammering in chapter 4, do you know what he says? But he gives more what? Hey, I don't know about you, but I am thankful for grace. And listen, there's nothing that you can do that can separate you from Jesus. You may have gone and you may have said some evil things. Guess what? There's grace for that. You may have gone through your life and made some plans without including God in them. Hey, guess what? There's grace for that. There's grace for every area of our life. And so understand, we have to be careful what we say when it comes to others, when it comes to our future. Because guess what? I don't know about you. I don't know what the future holds. But guess what? I know who holds the future. Will you pray with me?